Support for this podcast comes from Troy University, dedicated to teaching a new generation to lead change. Information on leadership opportunities available to students from day one is at troy.edu/leadchange.
From Troy Public Radio, this is In Focus, and I'm Carolyn Hutchison. Today, Professor Bill Dean joins us to provide historical context of the conflict between Russia and Ukraine. He's received the Military Officer of America Association Award for Civilian Educator of the Year. We'll take a look at the relevance and value of Ukraine now and back in World War II. Dr. Bill Dean, thank you so much for joining us here on In Focus as Associate Professor of History at the Air Command and Staff College at Maxwell Air Force Base. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Tell me, as a historian who not only lectures, but is in the field in Africa and the Middle East, give me your historical perspective on the Russian invasion of Ukraine.
Well, before I dive in, I have to always say this, that these opinions are mine alone, not that of Department of Defense, not that of the U.S. Air Force, not that of Air University. So I just have to make the lawyers happy. Well, you know, what is the identity? What is Ukraine? Christianity started in Kiev in the 10th century and spread from there. And Ukraine has had an independent existence. It's also been absorbed by Russia, particularly in the last 200 years with Peter the Great and Catherine the Great. Ukraine became part of Russia. The Ottoman Turks were pushed out of the Crimea. War was fought to keep it in the 19th century. It had a brief moment of independence around World War I. The Soviets came in and absorbed it. Under Stalin, the people were starved to death in what's called the Holodomor. Hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of Ukrainians were starved to death. They were very bitter towards the Soviets. And so their formation of identity, that's always been the central question, you know, who is Ukrainian, who is Russian? It's been formed out of suffering and conflict. When World War II ended and the Soviet troops came back into Ukraine, some of the Ukrainians fought the Soviets. They did not want to be back under the Soviet thumb. And, of course, this all cements or becomes a crucial issue in 1991 when Ukraine gets its independence. The Russians later, under Yeltsin and then later Putin, try to make Ukraine a puppet state. They try to install pro and friendly Russian leaders into Ukraine, and this leads to rebellion and some political chaos. So it's been a struggle of formation of identity, and then who is Russian, who is Ukrainian?
You know, Dr. Dean, when you think about Vladimir Putin, it made him nervous with NATO's advance. And here we have more countries joining NATO. Sweden is in the mix to join NATO. It seems that what he was fighting against has already happened. How does this play into the scenario?
Well, under Putin came to power at the beginning of the Second Chechen War. And he fought a series of successful wars. So he ended the Second Chechen War by winning over the local elites like the Kadyrov family. He defeated Georgia in 2008. He inserted Russian influence into Syria in 2015. He is very much like Peter the Great. He wants to make Russia great again. He is what's called an irredentist leader. He doesn't want greater than Russia. He just wants to get back. He sees Yeltsin very much as a fool and Gorbachev as a fool. He hates Gorbachev and Yeltsin, and so he's trying to make Russia a great power, except he doesn't have the latent power. His population is in decline. He has lots of oil and a few other natural minerals, but overall, he has severe problems of drug addiction, of dropping population, alcoholism, and he's become more and more economically isolated.
Do you think he underestimated the backlash by the Ukrainians?
Well, I think so. Look, he goes in 2014. He seizes the Crimea in a black special operation. He takes the Donbass. Of course, the Ukrainians had just finished an election, and so there was political chaos inside the Ukrainians. The Ukrainians were not ready to fight. But what he didn't think is that between 2014 and 2021, that the Ukrainians would rebuild their military, get military help and advice from the West, and get themselves ready. And, of course, he's overconfident. Again, he wins the Second Chechen War. He wins the war in Georgia, defeats the Georgians, prevents them from joining NATO, maintains Abkhazia and his state of provinces in Georgia. He plays a decisive role in Syria. He saves Assad in Syria. The Iranians weren't able to do it, so he makes an alliance with the Iranians to keep Assad in power. So to his mind, why wouldn't he win in 2022? It seemed a backward, corrupt country with a fairly weak military and a television comedian as president. Remember, Zelensky was a television comedian. It's like having Jerry Seinfeld as president. So why didn't he think he was going to win? And, of course, we were always worried about him attacking the Baltics, who are under NATO and under Title VII obligations. That's what we had been afraid.
You have spent time in Africa, the Middle East. Another aspect of the country of Ukraine is it's sort of an agricultural breadbasket.
Well, the eastern, it's divided. You have the eastern part is heavily industrial in the Donbass. You have, of course, maritime trade in the Black Sea. And then other parts of the country were breadbasket of the Europe. That's why Hitler invaded the country. The Germans in 1917 shifted their entire policy to Drang nach Osten, to drive to the east, to absorb the Ukrainian bread. So it's very important. Of course, it has disrupted a grain trade throughout the world. It's going to take a very long time to rebuild Ukraine in general, particularly the eastern third of it.
What do you project as far as support for Ukraine versus China and Iran possibly getting involved in all of this?
Well, Iran has been supplying weapons. China is a pure realist power. They use Russia. They're not really close buddies with Russia. They don't think, I think they've lost high regard for the Russians and see them as a weaker power. They're willing to sell them, you know, all kinds of natural products and machinery and stuff. But China, I think, sees it as their opportunity to emerge as the greatest power in the world. Iran has, there's a lot of dissent at home, multiple riots at home, there are insurgencies inside Iran. So Iran kind of overreached with Syria, and they can help the Russians a little bit, but they need more help from the Russians than they can give to the Russians.
One other aspect of this war, do you think Putin will employ the nuclear option?
God, I hope not. I think that's one advantage of Putin staying in, is I think he is much more hesitant to use nuclear weapons than other people.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today by Skype for this report on the historical perspective of the war in Ukraine.
Thank you very much. Enjoyed the interview.
We were joined by Bill Dean, Associate Professor of History at the Air Command and Staff College at Maxwell Air Force Base. Professor Dean provided historical context on the war in Ukraine. Any opinions expressed by Professor Dean are his alone and not those of the Department of Defense, the U.S. Air Force, or Air University. Thank you for joining us today for In Focus, which is a podcast on NPR One or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Carolyn Hutchison, and this is listener-supported Troy Public Radio.